Blog Talk Radio.
To home, Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad therein. I can hear the scripture saying, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Truly, we come today to lift up that wonderful name of Jesus and give his name the praise, glory, and honor. Truly, he is the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, our great God, and our Lord and Savior. I tell you, on today, we have another wonderful, beautiful lesson for you on today. So grab your Bible and come right on in and just make yourself right at home. We have a word from the Lord for you on today. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that you're going to be tremendously, tremendously blessed on today. And so our lesson on today is belonging to Christ. And you can find the scripture reference that we're going to be looking at on today from the book of Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through verse 22, and then 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 through 23, and then Philippians chapter number 2, verses number 9 through verse number 13. So grab your Bible, come right on in, make yourself right at home. We're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time in the lesson on today. So, Father, we come once again asking, dear God, that you would just bless us, Lord, in a mighty and a special way. We ask, dear God, that you bless our hearers on today. Let this word, Lord, be honey to their soul, strength to their life. And, Father, we'll praise your blessed name and give you the glory and the honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, our lesson on today is going to be belonging to Christ. We also, again, continue looking at the holiness of God as well, but on today we're going to be looking at belonging to Christ. Let's take a look at the scriptures on today. It said, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God, that thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus beheld him with love and loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 7, verses 20 to 23. Let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. Art thou called, being a servant? Care not for it, but if thou mayest be made free, use it rather. For he that is called in the Lord, being a servant, is the Lord freeman. That likewise also he that is called, being free, is Christ's servant. Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servant of men. Philippians 2, verses 9 to 13. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in the absent, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Now let's take a look at the message or lesson on today. Again, our lesson is talking about belonging to God, that you, yes, you belong to Christ. Let's take a look at this. It said, when the Lord created man in the Garden of Eden, he made a unique creature. God made man of the dust of the earth, and yet he gave man an eternal soul with freedom to make choices. Man was created with the ability to reason, to think, and to feel emotions. Moreover, he was able to communicate his own thoughts, his own desire, and will to God and to others. Now, man would have to decide for himself whether he was going to live according to the laws of God, whether he would rebel against his creator. Unfortunately, man chose to serve sin, immediately became a slave to sin and to his own carnal nature. Now, God did not give up on man, but made various provisions throughout the dispensation so that the communication and fellowship could be destroyed between himself and man. Now, ultimately, the Lord himself came in flesh, dwelt as the Son of God among mankind, gave himself for the sins of the world. God sent his Son into the world to die for our sin, to be our sacrificial substitute, and to purchase our salvation with his own blood. Now, to avail ourselves of the precious gift of eternal life in Christ, we must believe and obey the plan of salvation that is prescribed in the Scripture. We must obey the gospel message of Acts 2:38 by repenting of our sins, being baptized in the name water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, and by the infilling of the Holy Ghost, which is the Spirit of God. Now, this new birth experience, it frees us from the sins of this life, and we become servants of the Lord instead of slaves to sin. And it is vital that we surrender all to him and do his will, for now we belong to him. We are no longer our own because we have been bought with the price of Christ, a precious blood. Every part of our new life is now at his disposal as we yield the throne of our lives over to him. And that's very critical. We have to yield our throne over to him, everything that we are, yielding it over unto Christ. Now, the scripture revealed that we cannot serve both the Lord and the devil. Christ will be Lord of all in our lives or not Lord at all in our lives. We cannot serve God and overly concern ourselves with the cares of this life. Moreover, we must make our choice and decide according to his divine will. Now, the Lord loves to bless his people. He trusts us with material possession, but we are to be good stewards and recognize the divine ownership of everything that we possess. Now, there are blessings and security in belonging to Christ. He is going to take care of us in every area of our lives. He is concerned about our physical, material, financial, and spiritual needs. It is comforting to know that nothing can pluck us out of his hand except our own disobedient action. Now, there are additional blessings in allowing our talents and ability to be used for the work of God in the earth. We are his property. Our hands and feet are useful in laboring for the Lord. Our lips sing the praise of God. We pray and intercede for others as God directs us. We are members of the body of Christ and the servants of the Lord as long as he is supreme and exalted upon the thrones of our life. He is the one who is to be glorified and praised because we can do nothing without him. He is the vine and we are the branches and we are to exalt him. Now let's look further. Let's look at the state of the believer and things, and because we are purchased by Christ's blood. Now, of all creation, mankind is different. The animal and the birds live by their God-directed instinct. They have no conscience or guilt. They have not. They do not reason or feel responsible for their action. But within man, God placed a spiritual consciousness. We have an eternal soul and the ability to love, hate, laugh, and cry. We may exercise our free will and make choices as well. From the beginning, mankind was given the ability to make choices regarding his relationship with God. He could choose to obey or defy his law, God's laws. With those choices, we would certainly come consequences as well. If a person served God, he would receive the benefits and the blessing. But if he chose to disobey the law, the punishment would be swift and sure. Now, Adam and Eve disobeyed God and caused the entire race to come up under the bondage of sin. Our forefather became servants of sin. They were brought up under the bondage to desires and the whims of the flesh. God is merciful and long-suffering. He could have destroyed mankind from the face of the earth, but in his love and compassion for creation, he spared us. Looking ahead from the gloomy judgment day in Eden, God promised a redeemer that would bruise the head of the adversary. In the dark hour, a ray of hope shined upon the human race. God made merciful provision for every group of people throughout the various dispensations for restored communication and fellowship. But his ultimate set of restoration came at Calvary. In God's own time, he robed himself in a fleshly body and was born of a virgin named Mary as the Son of God. His father was the Holy Spirit, so only the only begotten Son was both human and divine. Now, the scripture revealed that all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him bodily. You'll see that over Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 9. Now, Jesus, the Son of God, was born to die. The shadow of the cross loomed over him throughout his life because his mission was to give his life and shed his blood to purchase our redemption. Only the sinless Lamb of God could die in order to save fallen humanity. Only his blood could wash away our sin. Before Jesus came, the plight of man was hopeless. Man could not extract himself from the sinful nature and habits and fear that held him fast. Hopefully, he served sin and lived hopelessly. He served sin and lived under the influences of Satan. Now, love motivated our Lord to yield himself to the authorities and the soldiers as well, who rudely mistreated him before they crucified him. They brutally beat him on his back and planted a crown of thorns upon his brow. Yet he silently endured the mockery of a trial, replenished with false witnesses. He had determined to provide salvation for us by offering himself as a sin sacrifice for us. Now, few hours after the mock trial, the earth beneath the old rugged cross received the blood of our precious Lord as his life slowly ebbed away. Now, the blood was the price paid for our salvation and deliverance. Now, when a person becomes a believer, he does more than just a verbal statement of accepting Christ as their personal Savior. They also follow God's defined plan and his definite plan of salvation that he might be born again and belong to Christ. Now, the sinner must repent of their sin, feel a godly sorrow for the life spent in sin, and recognize their need of forgiveness and the desire to change their way of living so that they can please God. These are all part of repentance. We ask his forgiveness of our sin with the intention of not and continuing in our old way of living. Now, the scripture then commands us to be baptized, immersed in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. As part of the new birth experience, baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, it washes away our sin. Now, the early church practiced baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for they were fulfilled that great commission that was given to them by the Lord in Matthew 28:19. On the day of Pentecost, Peter commanded water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. This same practice was repeated among the Samaritan, Acts 8, the Gentile, Acts chapter 10, and the disciples of John the Baptist, Acts chapter 19. Now, the apostle Paul was commanded to be baptized in the name of Jesus so that his sin would be washed away. And this is still God's plan to remit or wash away our sins. Acts 22:16. And now why tarriest thou? Arise and be thou baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Furthermore, we are to be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God give utterance. This Spirit, birth of the Spirit, completes the new birth experience. And you see that John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8. Now, we have been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, and no longer are we slaves of sin. We now belong to Jesus. It was once as if we were on an endless treadmill of sin. Sin had us chained so that we could not escape. We were going in endless circles of activity. Satan tempted us, deceived us, and influenced us to follow his evil course in this world. Then Jesus came with deliverance. Yet today, enslaving habits of sin still destroy the lives of victims and send them ultimately into an untimely grave. Multitudes may desire to be free from sin, but they cannot yet know that Jesus Christ, they do not know yet know that Jesus Christ made deliverance possible for anyone by his death on the cross. Now, Jesus paid for their freedom, but they must avail themselves of it by obeying the scripture. The sinner must submit his human will to the call of God, and he may hear the word of God preached so that the conviction may grip his heart, but he must make the decision to yield to the beckoning call of God. Now, let us look further. Now, the servant of Christ. A servant is one who serves his master. When we are living in sin, we serve sin and self, for they were our masters. Now we are servants of the Lord, and he is our master. What a difference since he broke the chain of darkness in our lives. Sin and Satan are cruel taskmasters. Life can be a horrible up under sin's bondage. Living for Jesus Christ, however, is a new and an abundant life. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Now, the chain of sins are restricted and are loaded of guilt, which is very heavy. Sin yoke is tight and unyielding, but the yoke of Christ is easy and light. Jesus offers us a way that is both pleasant and productive. We serve him not because of fear, but because we love him. Though we do have an awesome respect for the Lord, the basis of our service to him is out of our love. Now, we love him because he first loved us and gave himself for us. Jesus delivered us from the labor of cruel sin to labor for him in love. Matthew chapter number 11, verses number 27, 28 through verse 30 states, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, there is security in being servants of the Lord. Since we belong to him, we can depend upon him to supply our needs and protect us. The Lord will give us guidance for our lives and to be productive. Many Christians testify to the experience of God's providence. Whatever the need, he will take care of us. Now, the angel of the Lord encamped about his servant and watched for their safety. Whether we are on the highway, traveling, or resting in our home, we can take comfort in the fact that the unseen angels of the Lord are guiding, guarding us, and we are the property of Jesus Christ, and he will make sure that we are cared for. Now, since we are Christ, we look to him each day for our marching orders. He is the captain of our salvation. We are under his command. However he directs us, we are to obey his bidding as his servants. When we served sin, we did the will of the flesh and the devil. As free moral agent, it was our choice to serve sin. God called us to offer salvation, but he left the choice to us. Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. When we were born again, we began to do the will and the bidding of God. As servants of the Lord, we desire to please him and do what he asked of us. Now, let's look further. Believers must surrender all. Now, some religions have a strict code of ethics and behavior that they obviously lack the power of God. The people experience no change in their nature to observe certain rules and regulation in an effort to exercise stringent discipline may be commendable, but without a regeneration, a new birth, such as a human effect, is of no avail. Moreover, it could lead to a new kind of bondage to the distorted doctrine of self-righteousness. Now, when we are born again, according to the scripture, we become new creatures in Christ Jesus. We experience spiritual change inwardly and outwardly. Our old stony heart of indifference is replaced with a new compensation, a compassionate heart of care and concern. Our desires change from a life of sin to a life of righteousness. We turn from the thoughts of the world and pursue the mind of Christ. This certainly does not mean that Christians will no longer be tempted. We still live in the flesh, and its orientation is towards this world. If it is not kept under control by the Spirit of Christ in us, it will lead us back under the bondage of sin. And that's very critical, that point right there. That's why it's critical for an individual, a person, to have the Holy Ghost, because what the Holy Ghost will do, it will keep the flesh up under control and yield it over to the power and the Spirit of God, which will keep one from being led back into bondage, spiritual bondage, bondage of sin. Now let's look further. But God has given us that power and strength to resist temptations as long as we live in the influence of the Spirit. Now our new birth have destroyed the shackles of sin that held us for so long. And that's critical. You got to recognize that that shackle has been broken. That bond, that chain has been broken off of your life. When you receive the Holy Ghost and the power, it has been destroyed. And now it's critical for us every day to get up and acknowledge the Spirit of God and say, God, I live according to your will, and I live a yielded life to the Spirit. I follow after the Spirit of God today, and that's critical. And God said that he would lead us not into temptation, but he would deliver us even from all evil. Now, let's look at a surrendered life. Now, the believer's life is one of surrender to the will of God. While some people might say that this spiritual bondage is a reality, is only true freedom, the will of God is always the best for us, even when we do not recognize or understand. God clearly and cared dearly for his people, for they are not only the servant, but also we are his sons and daughters. He has even called us his friends. It is a privilege to be a servant of the Lord. Now, the rich young ruler wanted to know the requirement for receiving eternal life. He perhaps thought that keeping the law of Moses was sufficient, for he proudly reminded the Lord that he had obeyed the Ten Commandments, but his obedience had been conditional. He willingly lived a moral life, but he was not willing to give up the conveniences his wealth gave to him. He may have loved God, but he loved his money more. He wanted eternal life, but he wanted his life of ease on earth more. Now, when Jesus asked him to sell what possession, all of his possession, and give it to the poor and follow him, the young ruler was unwilling to make that commitment. Jesus asked him to take up the cross and follow him. The surrender and commitment was more than he was willing to give. Surrendering all and obeying the will of God is a difficult for the flesh to handle. The flesh resists doing the will of God. Even Jesus in the garden wrestled with his flesh, and the struggle was agonizing that his sweat became as great drops of blood. So Jesus recognized our struggle, and he understands what we're going through. But Jesus surrendered what he did. He surrendered his will to the will of God by saying, "Not my will, but thy will be done." And you'll find that over in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42. Now, let's look further. Because we do not belong to ourselves, we will often pray a similar prayer, "Lord, not my will, but thy will be done." The flesh will struggle and resist, but if we persevere, the Spirit will give us strength to win every battle. Now, a child of God are the hands and the feet of the Lord on the earth. We are the body of Christ, and Jesus Christ, as the head, gives the commandment to the body and command that we are to carry out for him. Now, it is normal for the human body not to carry out the function of the brain. The human body is a marvel of intrinsic functions. The brain sends a signal. Our members respond accordingly. If the signals are scrambled because of the disease or injury, the result is pathetic. Now, since Jesus is the head of the church, it is normal for us to do his bidding. We belong to him. Our duty is to yield to his wishes. Each child of God has been blessed with talents and ability, and we can use them for our selfish gain or self-gratification, or we can use them for the work of God. These talents really are not ours any longer because we surrender them to God when he saved us from sin. It is not our decision. Therefore, we should use our talents and our ability since they are really his. Our possessions also belong to God. Everything we possess is surrendered to him. When we give our lives to him, he allows us to use the possession that they really belong to him. If we should ask for him, it is only right that we surrender them because they are his. But surrendering our all to God is not grievous, for we know that he always has our best interests in mind. We must recognize that as we surrender and be submissive to the will of God, sometimes it seems difficult, but that's where he wants us to be, and he's going to show forth his mighty hand. Now, our very existence in the hand of the Lord has been given over into the hand of the Lord, and our life is a precious gift from him. As a child of God, we realize that the tremendous gift and opportunity that God has given us through our human life. For that reason, we look at life differently from the way carnal people see life. We share schools, career, and other decisions with them, but the basic principle and motivation that governs their lives are not biblical nor spiritual. They ultimately follow carnal desires and ambitions with little or no consideration of the one who gave them the gift of life. The child of God asked the Lord, "What do you want me to do with my life?" We consult the Lord in all matters, whether we have to make a major or minor decision. Many child of God have to begin with a new occupation, and some of them end up on foreign mission field in the home mission city to work for Christ. The important thing is to do the will of the Lord in our lives, no matter where we find ourselves, where our even career or occupation may take us. We can always still yet be the hand, the heart, and the feet of God. Now, Christ is Lord, and we do exalt that wonderful name of Jesus. We exalt and we hallow the name of our Lord in our life, Lord Jesus in our life. One of the ways that we exalt and honor his name is by living a godly life in an evil world. By our lives of holiness, dedication to Christ, we bring honor and glory to his cause on earth. Pentecostals have been known through the years as holiness people who refrain from many unwholesome and evil activities. Their reputation has not dishonor or reproach Christ. Rather, it has honored him. And we honor his name in our daily living as we separate ourselves from evil and commit ourselves to his righteousness. We are ambassadors for Christ in a society alien to godly principles. Now, the moral fabric of our society is still yet unraveling, and sin is becoming more public and bizarre. We sometimes walk along spiritual, and we must remain uncontaminated by immoralities of even of others. As a pure and clear people, we are to shine as light in a dark world. When we show respect for God and spiritual things, the name of the Lord is exalted through our testimony and daily life. On the other hand, if we fail to live godly, the name of the Lord is become a reproach. Now, let's look further. Now, Jesus Christ is supreme. Now, the word idolatry means the worship of false gods. It is the failure to recognize that there is only one God and that he is one. The Lord alone is sovereign and there is no room for others, another. There is only one true and living God and all others are false. The child of God belongs to the one true God. No idol can have a place in their lives. Our worship is direct to the true and living God. He must be sovereign and sovereignly supreme in our life, and he reigns supremely in our life. And as we serve Jesus Christ, we are not immune to temptation in this world. The daily struggles to provide for our livelihood can cause us to be tempted to love possessions. Now, we may and should enjoy what God gives to us, but we must resist desiring the things of this world. If a person begins to worship this earthly possession, his love and devotion to Christ will soon be polluted and perverted. Now, we cannot love God and money at the same time. We are to love our family, friends, and all sinners, but we must love God first and foremost. And that's not to say that we should not have money and think money answer all matters. And so we must recognize that it is for a purpose and things. But when we love it so, and when we become blinded in our eyes that we can't see nothing else but money and things and be detached from it, then that's where the error can become, because we don't want it to become our mini God or our God. Now, the scripture said, Matthew 6:33 states, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. Now, people have trouble when they try to serve two masters. They reach for two worlds, and they end up losing both of them. A great danger of a child of God today is to be overcharged with the cares of life. Our spiritual bearings must not become confused. If we lose our spiritual compass, we become lost in the fog and dash upon the rocks. Prosperity becomes a curse when it becomes an idol. Idolatry and covetousness are close companion. A child of God must maintain the proper priorities in their life. They must also, and this only can be allowed as they allow the Lord Jesus to be supreme in their life. Now, the Lord desired to bless his people with possession as long as we remain in spiritual control of them. Now, we must be good stewards and not forget his divine ownership. Now, Jesus Christ is divine, and we are the branches. He can exist without us, but we cannot survive without him. Our spiritual life comes directly from him. Whatever talents and ability God blesses us with, we must always submit them to his glory. Only when Christ is supreme in our decision and activity can we praise him and give him glory. There are great blessings in belonging to Christ. We have ample opportunity to partner with God in the evangelizing the lost. We can intercede for others and be laborers together with Christ, with God. The Lord shows us by his example the importance of being a servant. He sent his and spent his entire life serving others and gave the ultimate gift of servitude, his life. He vividly demonstrated the servanthood by washing the feet of his disciple, and it is his example of demonstrating a servant and what we should and must follow. What a blessed privilege it is to serve the Lord by serving others. And so here it is, when we serve each other, it is likened unto us serving our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, in my closing, our relationship with the Lord is possible because of his sacrifice on Calvary. We were bound in sin and held fast in the grips of the enemy until Jesus purchased our salvation with his blood. We were not redeemed with the gold or silver, but Jesus purchased us with his own precious blood. His reason for doing so was wrapped up in the word of John 3:16, "For God so loved the world." Jesus made it possible for us to be extracted from the bondage of sin, and he replaced the chains of darkness with his own cords of love. We serve a cruel taskmaster in Satan, but Jesus came and offered us a yoke that was easy and his burden was light. The blood of Christ made it possible for men to find salvation through the new birth experience as explained by Jesus Christ and proclaimed by Peter in Acts 2, verses 38. We now serve our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Since we belong to him, we surrender our wills, our desires, in order to please him in our daily living. His will always be good, perfect, and acceptable. He is always working for our own ultimate good and upbuilding the kingdom of God. There are multiple blessings in living for God. There is security in that which we belong to him. He has promised that nothing will pluck us out of his hand. He provided protection for us as holy angels and camp around about those who fear him and trust him. There is also great comfort in knowing that he will provide for us in the various areas of our lives, and that for he provide for his own, and that our needs he will supply both spiritually as well as naturally. All of them are supplied in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is a privilege to allow our talents and ability to be used in the work of God. The various talents that we are blessed with came from him. We gladly expend ourselves to be blessings to others. We are ambassador for Christ in this world, and we must represent him well in the world. And by doing so, we exalt his holy name before the lost. He is always Lord in our life, and we must lift him up, for he is the one and true living God. He is to receive the glory for any good that come to our life. For Jesus Christ, he does and will always reign supreme. And so, child of God, I pray that you've been blessed on today for this glorious lesson. I tell you, he is Lord of all. He's wonderful. He's excellent. He's that marvelous, mighty God. And I pray that you have been blessed. Remember always, as I was saying in my conclusion, if you don't have it, God got it. And you are just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be, or it will be open unto you. There's many wonderful blessings that are being opened unto you. And I just want to encourage your heart, mind, and soul on today that you recognize that you, yes, you belong to Christ. Continue to yield your life over to him. Continue to do the blessed work and the will of the Lord. He said, if you acknowledge me first, I will direct your path. Yield not to that temptation and watch God bless you in a mighty way. In my closing, the scripture that I will leave with you is 1 Corinthians 3, verses 23. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God. May God bless you. Until we meet again, encourage someone, call someone, tell them to come and hear from a word from the Lord throughout the midday that they may be blessed and strengthened in their heart. Jesus loves you so much. He died for you that you might be free to do the work and the will of the Lord. Continue on in the work, the blessed work of the Lord. Don't get tired now. Let the Lord bless you. And so until we meet again, may the blessings of the Lord make you rich and add no sorrow. God bless you. Bye-bye.